Psalms chapter number 14. Psalm chapter 14. Many of these verses will sound and look familiar and ought to, but we'll go through some things that are written down. And Psalms 14, verse number 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they do, as they eat up bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad." Dearly Father, we come before you once again today. We ask that you, Lord, look in on us. Lord, teach us from your word. Open our eyes and give us, Lord, just ears that hear, but also the understanding. But then the desire to follow after you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But verse number 1, he starts out and says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." We have to be, as Christians, really cautious with the word "fool," and not to be using that word or phrase as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. He says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Rock, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." And so we want to be cautious on who we call or who we use, you know, that terminology for. He mentioned before, and many of us, when we were growing up, we were told, "Don't call, don't call anybody stupid." But the Bible and Jesus is very firm on the "Don't call anybody a fool." And "Raca" is "oh, empty one," you know, calling somebody that they're, you know, empty, but to basically utterly vilify them. But we as people ought to be cautious about calling somebody a fool. But God does call 4 different people fools. In Psalms 53, verse number 1, he calls someone the fool, and he says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Same as verse number 1 of chapter 14, he says, 53:1. Maybe it is exactly identical. I may have made that mistake, though. Psalms 53, verse number 1. It's exactly the same. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." So the only thing that changed is abominable works to abominable iniquity. But the atheist, God calls the atheist a fool. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Mother-in-law stopped on the way here at a couple different places, a couple museums, stuff like that. And she was so frustrated as she came in with all of the stuff that they talk about and the Big Bang theory and humanism is running rampant. And God says, if you can't look around, as the psalmist said, that we see in the glory of his firmament, he says, boy, it's all out there. God says, you can't see that, you're a fool. But more than that, it's if you deny there's a God. In Romans, it talks about them not retaining the knowledge of God. They push it completely out of their lives. The atheist is a fool, according to God. The next person that God calls as a fool is the modernist. In Luke chapter number 24, verse number 25, it says, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Oh, they get all involved in everything, and they believe that that was important back then, but now we have science, we have better understanding. But God calls the modernist a fool. And then the third person that God calls a fool is the mocker of sin. Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor." Sin isn't something we should make fun of in our life or in anybody else's. And then number four, the fourth person that God calls a fool is the person who rejects salvation. Luke chapter number 12, verse number 20, Jesus says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You know the story of the rich man who had a great harvest and said, "I'm going to tear down my barns. They're not big enough. I'm going to build new barns. And then I'm going to live my life at ease." And God called him a fool because he rejected salvation. What a sad, sad commentary on somebody's life. Romans chapter number 3, and we'll see Romans chapter number 3 spelled out in the next few verses of Psalms 14. Romans chapter number 3, verses 10 through 12 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Twice we see the repeat, "no, not one." And as I heard one preacher say, he goes, it's almost as if Paul is saying it. Somebody goes, "Well, wait a second, I know this person." And Paul goes, "No, not one." Even in Psalms 14, there is none that doeth good. Boy, have you been talking to people and trying to share the gospel with anybody for very long, you run into those very frequently, it seems to be anymore, that, "Well, I'm a good person."
Yes.
And the Bible's very clear, there is none that doeth good. That just flies in the face of that, "Well, I'm a good person" defense. Verse number 2, we see Romans 3, 10 and 12, went for verse number 1 and now into verse number 2. "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." You remember back to where Abraham, God says, "I'm headed over to Sodom. I'm going to destroy Sodom." And Abraham pleads with God. And you know, "Well, if you can find these righteous..." I don't believe that's the only time that God's looked down on men and looked for righteousness. Look for people who are following after him. Look for people who are living right and seeking after God. And he says, to see if there were any that did understand. When God looks down on the world today, is he still having a hard time finding any that understand, that seek God? There ought to be. You know, in Good News Baptist Church, he ought to at least find the folks that attend here. He ought to find some over at New Heights. He ought to find some at Bernalillo Baptist. He ought to find some at Rio Grande. He ought to find some at Gospel. He ought to find some when he looks down on Albuquerque. He ought to find some. But we ought to, our concern every morning when we wake up, God is looking down right now as we kick our feet out from underneath the blankets, and it's getting winter time and it takes longer to get feet in the boots this in the mornings right now. But during that time, are we thinking about what, before our feet even hit the floor for the day, are we thinking about God is looking down and He is looking? Does anybody understand? Is anybody seeking Him? We ought to be. But are we? Verse number 3 says, they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. All that, what a sad commentary. If God looks down on Albuquerque, New Mexico, tomorrow morning, and this is His response for what He sees when He looks down, what a sad commentary on us. Individually, corporately, the bride of Christ, that He wouldn't be able to find. Isaiah 64, verse number 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We understand that verse and many others are talking about our inability and our complete failure at righteousness outside of God. But I also believe in Isaiah that here's the, he is writing to, and he's writing about the children of God, the children of Israel, his chosen people, that their iniquity is carrying them away. Oh, they may blame it on Nebuchadnezzar or the Medes and the Persians or the Romans or whatever, but it's our own iniquity that gives us the grief, that carries us places we don't want to go, the places we ought not to be. Instead, in as Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created into Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When God looks down tomorrow morning, is He going to see us stepping into our house slippers or stepping into our work shoes or whatever the case may be to walk in good works? Or is He going to be going, there's none that doeth good, no, not one? Verse number 4, the psalmist says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Doesn't that remind, as we spoke earlier, and we have our missionary to Papua New Guinea, and how the parliament there votes that the King James Bible is the only way to correct the issues in Papua New Guinea? That puts a whole different spin on the where they're at, where their thought pattern is, whether or not they have knowledge. And it would almost appear in our country that there is no knowledge. Even as I mentioned before in Romans, where it says that they have refused to retain the knowledge of God, that they have tried to completely remove Him out of their lives, and God gives them over to a reprobate mind. One thing to have issues and things like that, but to be governed by what the Bible calls reprobates, we need to be cautious. Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. Before we can complain too much about anything going on in the world around us, what are we doing? Where are we at? Or Or do we have knowledge? Are we using the knowledge that we have received to walk after God? Are we calling upon the Lord? Some verses, Psalms 82, verse number 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Talked earlier about the who God calls a fool, the modernists, the humanists, the whole earth has fallen apart, and all of these, ever since the Big Bang, there's been total chaos. According to them, all the foundations of the world are out of course, but according to God, they're right where they're supposed to be. Isaiah 59:9, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. Why? Because of our sins. John 8, verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And 1 John 1, 6, a caution to those of us who claim the name of Christ, who say we're walking after Jesus. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Are we calling upon God? Are we showing that we have knowledge? Is there any wisdom in us? Verse number 5 says, there were they in great fear. There ought to be a time in our lives that we have a fear of God. Oh, I'm not afraid that God will cast me into hell. I believe what he wrote.